Midnoon Kickoff presents Bear Bets. I'm Chris the Bear Felica. I will be joined shortly by Jeff Schwartz and then later Sammy P and Will Hill during the gambling group thread chat. The goal to find winning wagers. We've done less than optimal so far, so we're a couple units down, but we are now into October, Jeff. Conference season is fully here, fully upon us. Each week seems to be getting better and better with the number of significant games being played. So now that the calendar has turned to October, hopefully the record will improve. What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm enjoying this season because it is so wide open. Like most years, this time of year, we get to conference season. We can pencil in an SEC team at the top. We can pencil in the Big Ten team, a Big 12 team, maybe ACC team. Unfortunately, Pac-12 is typically left out of that. This year, the Pac-12 is not. The Pac-12 is in the conversation.
Could be, yes.
For a playoff team. And with the last year, the 14 playoff, the dynamic of this playoff feels different to me than it would with the 12 team, where I think a 12 team playoff, it's going to be so much harder for maybe some of the newer teams that might make the playoff this year to win a 12-team playoff. I mean, that's three or four games against top opponents. This year, you only have to beat two of those teams. And so it makes it more fun to see as we get down the stretch, which some of these kind of maybe newer playoff teams get into the playoff and which one have a real chance to win a championship.
Yeah, and I think one of the arguments that I was talking about with someone with the 12-team playoff, like the number of meaningful conference regular season games that a school like Ohio State or Georgia is going to play, like the number zero. So it's kind of disappointing from that, but hey.
But also, Bear, here's the thing. The goal, I'm anti-12-team playoff, by the
way.
The goal of a playoff should be to find a champion, correct?
Mm-hmm.
A 12-team playoff doesn't get us any closer to that goal. It just adds more watchable game, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with that goal. Right. But think about, like, let's use a team like a TCU, right? They won a game last year against Michigan and sort of an upset, right? They had two defensive scores. Michigan did not score twice inside the 2-yard line. And now they're in the championship game. Now, they got blown out. I get it. But, you know, maybe weird things happen again. They beat Georgia. In this year's version of TCU, would have to win three of those games to win a championship, two to even make it to a championship game. It's harder to do for these upstarts. These teams have been kind of making a Cinderella run where it's really going to favor the Georgias, the Ohio States, the Michigans to have more depth, better players, more blue chip players, better coaching. They will survive a 12-team playoff. A TCU is not going to survive that. The Cinderella story is gone with a 12-team playoff.
So before we get ahead to the 12-team playoff, yeah, this year we've got the 14 playoff. We've now, as I mentioned, we are now in October.
Yeah.
College football playoff rankings will be coming out in about a month or so.
Yeah.
I don't even know the exact date anymore.
Mid-October, I think.
It's late October.
Week 7 or 8, right? Yeah. 6, 7, 8-ish, yeah.
So you have one American dollar or one unit, whatever you want. If you had to make a play right now on a team to win. Because that's a great question in itself. Like, how many teams legitimately have a chance to win the national championship? It's probably around 10, no?
Yes and no. To me, I look at, of course, I'm a former offensive lineman, but I look at a couple things first, right? Quarterback play and then in the trenches, right? Because we've seen at times that your quarterback can get you very far, TCU last year, right? But when you play at Georgia, you have to bring your lunch pail in the trenches, and TCU was not ready for that. We've seen Michigan not ready in the trenches, and they're a good team in the trenches against Georgia. So which teams can have the quarterback and the trenches? So you look at, obviously, Georgia, Michigan, and Ohio State. I think that Texas is in that category as well. Maybe Oklahoma. We'll see how that game goes this weekend. You look at out west to Washington and Oregon. USC, I think we thought maybe, but now their defense, I think, is probably out of it. You look at Miami, a Florida State. Like, there's more teams this year that have the potential. And again, with a 14 playoff, I feel much better about taking a long shot on someone who has to win one game and then maybe get lucky in the second game. So there's a lot of teams I like for this. The one team I think I would say, and I hate being on Texas ever, but they're really good.
They are really good.
Sark decided when he got to Texas, we're going to hire great coaches, which you need to have, right? Like that's a prerequisite for being a good college football coach, hiring good staff, which he did. He got a lot of coaches that are very good at their job. But then what he did is he attacked the trenches. He got good football players to rush the passer and to block for the quarterback. It's paying off. It's paying off this year when those guys have now developed into older players. And I think we're seeing a team that is good all around, not much weakness. And the weakness, I think, is like Quinn Ewers, right? Is like, how consistent can he be week in and week out? If they beat Oklahoma this weekend, the price for them to win a championship is going way down. And so I think if you take them now, you're in a good position. People say Michigan. And? They haven't won a game in January in what, 6 years? I don't see Michigan yet.
I think we can talk about this with Texas, and I'm sure we will if they do win. Like, if they do beat Oklahoma, and they run through the regular season undefeated, and they have that win in Tuscaloosa, like, are they in a position where maybe they don't have to beat Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship?
Like TCU last year. They were
who knows what's going to happen the rest of the year? But that's just something to file away. Like, I think a lot of people are saying, oh, this is just going to be meeting one of two, and ultimately it doesn't matter. But for Texas, I think it absolutely matters, because if they have the win at Bryant Denny in a game that was not as close as the final score indicated, they were the better team. They got the regular season win over Oklahoma, like, that's going to count for something.
And I also think when you look out west, the Pac-12 tends to beat itself up. I think the same will happen this season. So I don't think we'll have a Pac-12 playoff team. I think their team's good enough to make the playoff, but you look at, again, like, Oregon has to go to Washington and Utah. Washington has, obviously, USC, Oregon, Utah. I mean, they all play each other. You know, to get through the Pac-12
slate. Except for UCLA, who doesn't have Oregon or Washington.
Correct. But to get through that slate, like, you can have an 11-1 Pac-12 team in a Pac-12 championship game playing another 11-1 team. And, like, and, you know, like, right. and or 11 or 10-2 team, and that team loses. And, like, they, like Utah last year, right? They knocked USC out. That allows Texas to go undefeated and lose to Oklahoma in a Big 12 championship game. It allowed TCU last season to lose in the Big 12 championship game, get in the playoff because Utah beat USC. So it's just a lot more fun to watch the sport when we have all these teams. And you just don't say, okay, we have Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, done. It's nice to sort of have this season where we have so many teams. And we talked about in the gambling group chat coming up about Miami. Like, Miami's sitting right there, man, as a team that has rebuilt itself in the trenches. Mario's hired good coaches. The schedule they have, there's a possibility that they end up being a playoff team in year two under Cristobal.
That's a good tease for later in the
show. Yes, we'll do gamble group chat in a little bit. But first, Bear, we have to get to your wagers of the weekend. We have four right now, and then we'll have a best bet at the end of the show. Bear and I will both have a best bet. We'll start out west. I love this, Bear. I love this. We're starting with Washington State at UCLA. UCLA's favored by 3. The number, the total is 59.5, I should say. Washington State's 4-0. They beat Oregon State at home 2 weekends ago. They've also defeated Wisconsin. They're 3-1 against the spread with an average margin of victory north of 20 points. UCLA is 3-1. They just lost to Utah 14-7 before their bye. Bruins are 2-2 against the spread. Both these teams off a bye, playing in the Rose Bowl this weekend. Bear, where are you going?
I'm going with the Bruins. It's down to 3 now, which surprised me some. So I will happily lay 3 as opposed to 3.5 with UCLA. I think the idle week did UCLA good. The offensive struggles they had in Salt Lake are certainly not uncommon for anyone, especially with a freshman making his first Pac-12 road start in front of the Mus. So I like UCLA here. This is going to be the common everyday casual bettor is going to look, oh, well, Washington State, they're ranked and UCLA is unranked and Washington State's not favored. Like, why is that? I have to bet on Washington State. And I think there are people who I think are listening to this pod or above that and beyond that, and they know that AP poll ranking has nothing to do with who should be favored in a game. But I do think this will be a difficult spot for Cam Ward, and that Washington State offense, as good as they've been, I think going on the road against a defense which leads the nation in opponent yards per play, I think that will be problematic. So I think the Bruins will bounce back behind that running game of defense.
Washington State, their defense is 73rd in points per drive, 87th in yards per drive, and 93rd in rushing defense success rate. Not good against
the UCLA team. I was going to say that's surprising for when you're talking about the points per drive and yards per drive. Like for Wazoo, who's thought about this like high power like offense that scores often, like those rate percent. Those rate numbers are not, not good at all.
On defense, especially.
Oh, defense.
Okay. Defensively, which what they do well, right? I mean, that's what they're supposed to do well. They also are not good on third and short and third and medium. Again, not good things for playing the Bears. We'll play more in this game later. Matisse, I have a great Pac-12 stat for this game. It's going to be potentially brought up a lot later in the show. Let's get your second wager here. We're going to the SEC. Georgia is favored by 14.5 at Kentucky. They're home against Kentucky, I believe. Sorry about that. It is 48 is the total in this game. Georgia is 5-0. They've covered zero of the games so far this season. They just survived on the road against Auburn using the throw to 19 offense. I would do that as well. Kentucky's also undefeated, Bear. They destroyed Florida last weekend on the ground. It was pretty impressive. They're 4-1 against the spread this season. Where are you leaning, Georgia, Kentucky?
I don't think much of Florida. I have a little bit of regret for not being all over Kentucky last week. But I did hop in very early live in that game, which was good. But if you look at Kentucky, their last six trips to Athens, 0, 13, 13, 3, 17, and 10 are their point totals. So you're looking at probably 13 or 14 max for Georgia. At some point, you would expect the Bulldogs to start quicker and put 60 solid minutes together. I think it's a good opportunity to get on a contrarian favorite here. I think Kentucky, north of two touchdowns, is a popular underdog.
Yes.
I will go the other way and lay the points with the two-time defending national champions.
I'm with you on this wager for a couple of reasons. One, you mentioned the public's going to be all over Kentucky. Like, they're going to love to back Kentucky here. But I think people are going to overthink last weekend for Georgia, right? Around the country this season, we've seen in conference games, especially the first conference road game for a ranked team, a little slow to start, right? Penn State, Northwestern, Florida State, BC. We've seen out west as well. Georgia had their first road game of the season last weekend, a quarterback playing his first road start, and they won. They won the game by 7. They came back and won. Now Kentucky, they're hosting Kentucky, who's very one-dimensional on offense. Like, if you're Kentucky or any team playing Georgia, and you have one way to move the ball, the ways they're shutting you down. Like, they're not going to score enough points in this game. So I just don't see the amount of points Kentucky can score to cover this game. I mean, this game could be what, 27-10, something like that, right? 30-13, something like that. And they cover the game. All right, we'll go back to the SEC for your third bet here. Alabama at Texas A&M, potentially the biggest game for both these schools in a long time. A&M is getting 1.5 at the moment. The total is 46.5. Alabama is 4-1. They have won back-to-back conference games by double digits. They're 3-2 against the spread. A&M has bounced back well after losing to Miami in week 2. They've won 3 in a row, including 2 straight in conference. A&M is 4-1 against the spread. Where are you going here, Bear?
I'm taking A&M plus the points. I think there's still there may have been a 2 out there, but I think 1.5 is pretty much the consistent line now. If you look at Alabama, I get it. Like, you expect Alabama to just walk out onto the field and be what we've seen from Nick Saban for the last 15 years, but this is a team that hasn't been able to run the ball. They're like 70th in the country in yards per carry, and it's not like they played South Florida did a number on them in shutting down their offense. And I know Milroe has looked better the last couple of weeks. What is he, 27-33 the last couple of weeks against Ole Miss and Mississippi State? But I think we've seen from those defenses the last couple of weeks that they are not very good. This is a massive step up against a really good A&M defense that it's even without Connor Wigman now on offense. Max Johnson's been around. He's got experience. He can make plays. And it's so funny to think about A&M, how like everyone was ready to pass the hat around to come up with that $70 million for Jimbo. And now you win this game and you're in a position where
the money makes sense.
We can get to the SEC championship game and we can get to the college football playoffs. Yeah. So this is a massive game for A&M, a massive game for Jimbo. I like them here. I am ready to hop in on the Aggies, and if I'm wrong, hey, so be it. But I do think this game is going to resemble more what we saw Alabama versus Texas, opposed to what we saw against a couple of bad defenses the last couple of weeks.
I think it's okay to say that Alabama's not the same team they've been.
Under I think Saban. It is too.
And I know that we default to saying I'm picking Saban. It happened against Texas, and Texas covered that game, if I'm correct, right? Like,
oh, yeah. They went outright. Yeah, like, they were 6-point dogs.
Oh, they were dogs. I'm sorry, that game. Yes. Like, it's okay to say, I think there's an NFL parallel with the Patriots. And we still kind of give Belichick that credit. And they're not as good anymore. And Alabama's better than the Patriots are relative to their sports. But Alabama's just not the same team.
Is it as simple as saying, we don't have a first-round draft pick on our team at quarterback? Is it as simple as that?
No, they don't have first-round picks as much everywhere. They've had for years.
But that's what I wanted to hear you say, because I think that is the, yes. That's like the, I don't want to say low-hanging fruit, but that's like the immediate throw. Well, they don't have Mac Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts, or whomever at quarterback.
They also don't have Smith. They don't have Jalen Waddle. They don't have offensive tackles that are going in the first round, guards in the first round. And it makes sense. Look, we've seen in the sport, roster building is different now with the portal, with NIL. And it's not just that Alabama gets no good players. They get plenty of good players. But you start picking away two players a class here, a class there, and they go to Georgia now. They go to Miami now. And that kind of adds up over a couple of years, right, Bear? Like now you look at the roster, it's just not as good. And it doesn't mean that Alabama's bad. Alabama fans, don't come at me. That you guys are fine. You're a good football program. But you're just a little bit less good. And it's okay to admit that against a Texas A&M team that defensively, I think, we saw Alabama struggle in the Texas game to block Texas. Good luck blocking A&M. So let's get to your last game here for your fourth pick before we get to the gambling group chat. And then obviously the best bet to end the show here. You have Marshall, 6.5-point dogs at NC State. The total is 44.5. Marshall enters this game after a bye. They're 4-0. They've covered two of their four games. NC State is 3-2 in the season, but only 1-4 against the spread here. Bear, where are you going?
What happened to the Brennan Armstrong from 2021?
He don't look good, does he?
I mean, he's down. Now he's gotten, now they've moved on to MJ Morris, which we'll see if that affects their offense as well. But I took the herd here, +6.5. I think that running game with Rasheen Ali and I think they'll be able to control some of the clock. They've already won at a lower echelon ECC team this year at Virginia Tech. They take on another mid to lower echelon ECC team here. You're getting 6.5 points. I think they have an opportunity to win outright. So if you're feeling frisky, maybe play a little Marshall on the money line as well. If you want to throw in maybe a couple of other underdogs on the money line and a round robin, maybe take a look at Marshall +210, Louisville +225, Akron +180, yeah. Missouri +200, Cal +290, A&M +125. Those are some underdogs that maybe you choose three or four of those, throw them in a round robin on the money line, and you might come out okay for that.
Well, like on the round robin, I like Louisville for that, like Missouri for that. The Cal one is interesting. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But they're definitely a spot this week. There's a lot of those 6.5-point underdogs this weekend. The Marshall thing is interesting because I think their coach obviously is kind of itching for another job. It's not really
what
it is. And like, I think there's a part of Marshall that like each week they're trying to show out, obviously.
Right.
And I think that's partly because they're a good football team, but also Huff is going to end up somewhere, right? He's going to be somewhere next season. Unfortunately, that's probably not a Marshall. All right, let's recap your four wagers so far. We have UCLA favored by 3 points at home against Washington State. You also have Georgia at home minus the 14.5. They're hosting Kentucky, both teams undefeated. You have A&M +1.5 hosting Alabama. That game, that might get to a pick 'em by kickoff, I have a feeling. Marshall here +6.5 on the road at NC State. Those are your four wagers. Stay tuned for Bear's best bet. Also, my best bet. We're going to be in Conference of Champions. A little tease right there for best bets later.
Pack two.
Well, the Conference Champions for one more season, guys. One more. I guess like, six more weeks. And then we're done with football season. It's sad in college football. Let's get to the gambling group chat. It's going to be Will Hill, Sammy P., Chris and me. Talk all things college football. We cover all the big games of the week. We talk about some futures as well. Here's a gambling group chat.
All right, Sammy P. Will join Jeff and I again for the gambling group chat. Always a great time kicking around a bunch of different ideas and topics and wagers with these guys. A lot of big games. Some are sneaky big, but I think no one would argue that the biggest game is at the State Fair of Texas. The Red River Rivalry will be politically correct here, I guess, and not call it the Red River Shootout, even though they just did. But Texas, Oklahoma, both undefeated. Longhorns put a 49-0 beatdown on the Dylan Gabriel-less Sooners last year. Will, I'll start with you. Any thoughts here on OU Texas? Final time they will meet prior to moving to the SEC?
Yeah, it's not a typical Oklahoma-Texas game. I think both these teams are just so much better on defense than they usually are. So, you know, usually this is first one to 40 wins. I don't know that we get that type of game at 61. I haven't jumped in on an under, but that's probably the way I would lean. I think it'll probably be a close game. If I could get 7 at 6.5 now, at 7 it would be Oklahoma or nothing. But I do think, just from a matchup standpoint, there is an opportunity with a prop. Dylan Gabriel over either passing attempts or passing yards. I think the yards is 268.5. Texas, you can't run on, and Oklahoma can't run the ball. So I don't think Oklahoma is just going to, you know, pound into a brick wall here and just keep running over and over. I think they're going to throw it. I think they're going to throw it a lot. So I would look at over for Gabriel passing yards. Should be a fun game.
Sammy, anything for you?
I agree with the total. Yeah. I mean, we've seen Red River games in the last 10 years as high as like 75, 76. So to have this game totaled around 60 is pretty alarming. And we know that people will just wake up, roll out of bed, and bet the over. So I'm a little cautious there, but let's also understand that Oklahoma hasn't really played a good offense yet. I mean, Arkansas State, SMU, Tulsa, Cincinnati, Iowa State, none of those teams can really move the ball. None of them get big plays. So Texas will be ideally the first elite offense that Oklahoma sees. So I think there's going to be more. I don't think it's going to be like 20-13, but I'd probably take the points here. This feels like a big number either way. I agree with Will. You could probably wait it out either way. 6.5 to 6 is probably fair. But if I could get 7 with the Sooners, I would take it. I'm just a little concerned that Oklahoma's defense is a little overrated because they haven't really played a good quarterback yet.
I think there's a chance to live bet Oklahoma at some point in this game for the reason Sammy just mentioned, right? Texas has played Alabama. Like, they've played a big dog so far. They've been able to battle in the trenches against a team like that. Now, Oklahoma has not played a team like Texas, right? They have not played an offensive defensive line that the Longhorns have. There's a chance that Texas gets out big in this game early, just kind of physically dominating early in the game. And then at some point, Oklahoma claws back as they kind of get used to the physicality and speed of playing a much better team. So I think there's a chance to get Oklahoma with a bunch more points at some point, you know, middle second quarter, late second quarter, as they kind of figure out how to play a team like Texas.
I think a couple of things that I've learned this week, spoken to people, and just kind of also remembered. Someone brought up to me about the whole Venables and sign sealing and Sark being familiar with that. So what does Texas do to kind of maybe mix up signals, mix up signs? Because look, whether you agree, disagree, your thoughts on that, is a part of the game, is it not? That's out there. And obviously, Texas did a great job last year just going up and down on Oklahoma, who was mightily shorthanded on offense. And I think the other thing is I kind of feel the same way you do, Jeff. Like, Texas is better. Like, better than Alabama all over the field. It feels like they could get up kind of big in this game and win big. And then I was talking to someone who had watched Oklahoma this year, involved in one of their broadcasts, and I talked to someone who was involved in playing Oklahoma this year and last year, or will be, and he kind of said the same thing that you said, like, or Sammy P, what you were saying, like, he didn't think like they looked that improved on defense. Like, he kind of thought maybe statistically, it was a little bit of a mirage. Now, we'll see what happens on Saturday, but I think what Jeff alluded to and Sammy alluded to, like Arkansas State and the teams that they've been playing on offense, it could be maybe a little bit of a, I don't want to say a rude awakening, but clearly a much different level of competition this week for Oklahoma. But if you like Oklahoma and you want Oklahoma futures, this is probably the week to get them, because while you may wind up with a rematch in the Big 12 championship game, your prices might get thrown off a little bit if the Sooners do pull the upset. The other massive game in the state of Texas, Alabama at A&M, we saw on Wednesday this line move from 2.5 to 1.5. You can probably do some investigating out there to understand why that might have been, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. But I kind of threw something out there on Twitter during the week, and obviously people just kind of misinterpreted everything and just But I'm calling for the end of the Alabama dynasty. But what I had said was, is this kind of the most significant game that Alabama has had under Saban? And I laid out the reasons why. I said, if you lose, you've got two losses before the end of October, the first time since his first year. Your national championships are gone, and they've only played a handful of games since 2008 where they haven't had a national championship opportunity going into the game. Your SEC West champion title berths are probably up in smoke. You would have lost to Texas A&M, one of your bigger rivals in that division. You will have already lost to Texas, a team that's coming into the SEC. So now with the NIL era, like we've seen, you lost to Tennessee last year. You lost to LSU last year. I think they're 5-3 maybe in their last eight SEC games. Or 5-3 in the last eight games against Power Five teams. It might be like the gap has certainly closed, and I think it shows that if Alabama were to go on the road and lose to A&M, it kind of means that the days of Alabama just walking out on the field and being better than everybody and beating anybody are kind of over. They're not saying they're going to go 8-4 and 7-5 every year, but you just can't assume that Alabama just throw their name in the college football playoff every year. And I actually got a good response from a couple people who kind of said the opposite. Like, is it the biggest? It is the biggest game for Jimbo Fisher at A&M because you're never going to get another opportunity. You're a short home dog on your home field. You win this game, you got a tie break against Alabama. You still got some other teams in the West. And maybe you're the team that comes out of this, maybe going to the SEC championships. So if you like A&M, you could probably get to. I played A&M at plus 900 to win the SEC earlier this week just in Connecticut. For some reason, FanDuel didn't have SEC title odds up and DraftKings did. So, again, I have no idea what's going on in Connecticut with who can post what. But I'm kind of going on here. Alabama A&M. Sammy, what are your thoughts here? Because I like the Aggies here quite a bit.
Lots to unpack there, Bear. Let me start with the line movement. There's a rumor rumbling around Tuscaloosa that Jalen Milroe has a hamstring issue, and that's why the line moved, because I helped move it. It went from 2.5 to 1.5. And you know, if he's hobbled or out, I mean, that line is completely different. I mean, if he's hobbled, Alabama goes off the favorite, maybe Bama minus one. If he's out, though, and we see either Buckner or the freshman, A&M's going to go off the favorite here. I had this question that I asked two guys yesterday. I said, you know, psychologically, how tough is it to bet against Bama? Because there are two absolutes in football. We don't bet against Saban, and we don't bet against Belichick, right? We have better things to do. But I think that's sort of lazy. I mean, in my power ratings, I have Bama and A&M equal on a neutral. I have them both at 119. Ideally, that's a spot where you would take A&M at home in front of 112,000 people. But I got a little 2.5. If Milroe is out, I don't care what the number is. I'll lay 3 with A&M, because if it's Buckner or it's the freshman going on the road, Will, to 112,000 people in his first SEC road start, I will lay 3. But I'd rather like know for sure the status of Milroe and then make my move.
Yeah, everything comes to an end. Doesn't mean this is the end, but it doesn't mean it's not. I like the under more than anything, at least at the current number. Like, look, when you had a chance to bet 3 or 4 and you're grabbing one, even if you like the side, that's just a tough way to operate. I just think, look, an under here's a good look with just Alabama. It's not anywhere near the same talent at receiver. Their offensive line hasn't been great. I think whoever Saban plays at quarterback, whether it's a banged up Milroe or whoever, he doesn't really trust the quarterback. And A&M's been good on defense, you know, ever since Miami. That was an impressive performance last week against Arkansas. I would look towards an under here.
I think the under would be the play, or A&M, or even both. I think A&M, again, you know, the talent that they've acquired, they're sort of finally starting to play like the talent they acquired there, right? We're starting to see that difference, especially on defense. And Bear mentioned Alabama, right? The issues are not that Saban forgot how to coach, or that, you know, they don't know what they're doing anymore. They don't have as many good players. It's that simple, right? The quarterback is not as good as it's been in the past. The offensive line is not as good as it's been in the past. The wide receivers are not as good as they've been in the past. The defense is good, but not as good as they've been in the past. And eventually you sort of just don't have the same players. And this is what Alabama's dealing with. And this is, again, to your point about A&M's biggest game, maybe in the Jimbo Fisher. And they could smell sort of like blood in the water, right? They can see this Bama team. They watched them on film. They see how they played. And to me, it's A&M and the under. I mean, I'd be comfortable taking both of them. I took A&M after Sammy Texas yesterday, so I feel good with my 2.5 right now.
Elsewhere in the SEC, you got Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia is still not put together 60 solid minutes of football start to finish. Their defense has played much better in the second half of games lately. Beck turned the ball over. Like, I guess anytime you get out of a conference road game and you don't play your best and you win, it's a good thing. But at some point, Georgia's going to need to put 60 minutes. Now maybe the point isn't until the SEC championship game, or maybe the point isn't until they go to Knoxville in a few weeks. But Georgia has certainly been less than impressive. But this line against Kentucky, 14.5, it kind of has the whole, aren't they kind of begging you to take Kentucky here? I mean, as Auburn did last week, they had struggled mightily on offense against Georgia in previous years. Kentucky has done the same here. Mark Stoops has kind of played this game in the past to kind of keep it closer, maybe to keep that ranking higher. They had that massive drive at the end of the game in Athens a couple of years ago to get the backdoor cover. But this has the look of one of those games, like kind of like, go ahead, take Kentucky in the 14.5 here and see how that goes. I like Georgia this week. I think Kentucky coming off of that game against Florida, big emotional high at home. And this might be the lowest possible buy level we get on Georgia, I think, in a while, laying 14.5 at home. So I am not taking the bait with Kentucky. I'm going the other way with the Bulldogs. Will, you have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. You said it well. To me, this is another under. Leary, for as well as Kentucky's played here.
I like
Leary,
that under, yeah.
I mean, Leary hasn't been good. Last week, 9 of 19, he's completing 50% of his passes. Who knows how healthy he is coming off the pec injury. Kentucky's going to want to muck it up, play slow. Georgia, you know, they're going to run the ball too. So getting to 49 points to beat you here is asking a lot. I would look at another under here.
Sammy, what's going on twixt the hedges this week? Anything?
I would lay it. I mean, this reminds me of a game 2 years ago. I remember Jeff and his buddy RJ Young did a show on Spaces, sponsored by Wendy's, and it was Georgia, Arkansas. Wow. Remember that, Jeff? And
sounds
the spread
like
was
sounds like you're still getting residuals. I was there for that game. It was 19, over fourth quarter
and ended. Like, well, it's a lot of points, and I'm like, yeah, but it is until it's 21-0. You're like, I wish I had 29 instead of 19. I make these two 17 on a neutral. It's a home game for Georgia. Georgia has a home field that's at least 4 points. So I'm at 21. I'm not really sure what I'm missing here. I think the narrative is sort of overblown that, well, you know, Georgia hasn't covered yet. Sure, that's true. But if you haven't been on the train for the last 4 weeks – and you jump on right now, you're nothing. You're 0-0. Like, if you've been capitalizing on fading Georgia, good for you. But eventually, Georgia's going to run away from somebody. And I think the lack of offense for Kentucky here is really dangerous. Like, Kentucky's physical. We know Kirby has said, you know, we're ready for a war in the trenches. But how many points does Kentucky score? And Jeff, like, if I made an over-under on Kentucky, it's like 13.5, man. That's probably it. And Georgia could easily get to 35.
You just can't be one-dimensional against Georgia defense, right? You can't come into a game saying, okay, all we're going to do is run the ball, play action pass. Georgia will eat that up. And no matter how poorly you think Georgia's played at times this year, their a one-dimensional offense is the recipe for success for them, right? I mean, if you say, okay, just stop the run, that's all you have to worry about, they're going to be able to stop the run. And look, last week was, I believe, Georgia's first road game of the season, right? It was their first time on the road. It was the first time for Beck to kind of get that those road legs under them. And they finally figured out, no surprise, throw to 19 and we're better.
Like, imagine
that. They're back at home, and I think that they'll play more to control, understanding that they won that road game last weekend. And to your point about Kentucky's offense, they can't do anything against just Georgia defense because they're way too one-dimensional.
It's funny. I kicked this around with Will and Gil and Alexander at another separate text thread. I might have put it on this one as well. NFL wise, I know this is not an NFL direct prop show right now, but how high will an NFL team take Brock Bowers, knowing that you've got all those quarterbacks, you've got all those wide receivers, and you got all those linemen in the draft this year? But he is a generational talent and an instant difference maker.
He'll go in the top 10.
You think so? Okay.
I think he'll go in the top 10. he'll be looked at as one of the best total weapons in this. In the, you know, there's not a running back going in the top 10 this year, I don't believe, right? There's, we know of at least one wide receiver going in the top 10 and all those quarterbacks. So to me, it's got to be, right? I mean, there's one tackle in the top 10, the Penn State kid. A couple pass rushers will probably be up there. And Bowers, I think, has to be that high.
I hope so, because he should. Because if he falls, then you're getting one of those teams that's like a middling borderline playoff team is going to get a total difference maker. It's funny.
Wait, we're just going to gloss over the fact that you're in another group thread? We're just going to gloss over? You get around, huh, Bear? How many group threads are you in?
I do get around. I do get around. The only place I don't go anymore, when I see that 812 area code pop up for Indiana, that one immediately gets, that one has like the notifications off. I'm not in that one anymore. Whether Indiana, Purdue, gone, done, over. But yeah, we got to keep our, we got avenues. We're all over the place. So I'm looking though, like there are a lot of games this week that are like 6 or 6.5. You got Fresno -6 against Wyoming. TCU, how bad must Iowa State be that TCU's laying 6.5 against in Ames? OU Texas is 6.5. Northern Illinois is 6.5 at Akron. Notre Dame 6.5 at Louisville. I might have mentioned that already. NC State 6.5 against Marshall. There are a lot of games there that kind of
LSU, Missouri.
Missouri actually took money and they're down to 5.5 now. So a lot of people on Missouri. And what's Durden going to do against that LSU defense, which was an absolute sieve last week? I'd love to be able to catch my LSU season win total under first week in October. But I want to point to that Notre Dame Louisville game, because you got Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. You get your hearts ripped out in the final second. Last week, you have that miraculous 95-yard drive, whatever it was, at the end of the game to beat Duke. Next week, you're home for SC. This is game 3 of 4 against ranked opponents in the road. Like, this has, like, upset alert sirens written all over. Jeff, I can see you nodding your head, so go.
This is just a bad spot for Notre Dame to be in, as you mentioned, emotionally, right? Again, guys, these are 18, 22-year-olds. The reason why a lot of times we talk about emotions and wagering in spots is because it does affect players, right? They know USC's coming next weekend. They're going to probably have all the shows there again. They know USC be undefeated. And now you lost a heartbreaker. You won a heartbreaker. And now you go back on the road again to a team. Again, everyone circles Notre Dame as the team that they want to beat each season on their schedule. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crowded. You're, again, back-to-back emotional games and USC next weekend. It just feels like, just on the spot alone, not even looking at X and O's and who's playing and whatnot, this is just a bad spot for Notre Dame to be in this weekend.
Speaking of bad spots, how about Georgia Tech? Can I talk you into 21? I don't know if there's 21 and a half out there. Miami has at UNC next week, and then 2 weeks they're Clemson. That's, you know, these are two of the biggest games Miami's played in a long time. Maybe that's a little sleepy spot. Maybe Georgia Tech doesn't get the full attention of Miami. Can I talk you into the 3 touchdowns there with the Yellow Jackets?
That's happened before, Will, under previous administration in South Florida, where they have absolutely overlooked Georgia Tech, and the Yellow Jackets have come in there as a big underdog and pulled upsets. Not sure if that's going to happen, because Georgia Tech is so bad against the run. They can't stop anyone on the ground. And how about that result last week? They got up 14-0 in a blink against Bowling Green and then blew that game. So the pessimist in me would say, yeah, I can get on board there. But I got a feeling this might be a little bit different makeup of a Miami team. So,
but this is like a crystal ball special, right? Like, you win this game by 10 points and 14 points, and next week you go.
I would love for them to do that. Exactly. This week.
That's exactly like, yep. That's sort of I've watched, you know, for 4 years at Oregon. Like, this is what happens. Like, you have a home game. You're supposed to win by a lot of points. You don't cover. And then next week you look absolutely incredible against the best opponent you played so far this season. I guess second best opponent, but like you're up for that game, down for this game. So I think 21, it's a lot of points. Just historically looking at, again, I know Mario well, this is a spot where they tend to sort of not play their best game, put it like that.
Sammy, I hear a rumor that you're going to be present at Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday.
I will be there. I got my Looney Tunes Miami Hurricane shirt from 1994. I'm ready to go. Probably bet the under 57.5. That's already come down, open 60. Sleepy spot. I agree. Maybe Miami doesn't have the incentive to run it up and score 40, 42. So, yeah, maybe under 57. I think, you know, the other interesting angle with Miami, Bear, that nobody's talking about is how good they've been in the trenches. I brought this up a couple of weeks ago. They are controlling the line of scrimmage at Miami for the first time in a long time. And that's because Mario has recruited the trenches very well. It hasn't taken them long to turn that D line around. They're very powerful, very physical. I think that they can slow whatever Georgia Tech does well. And even if they cover 21, maybe it's like 35-7 or something like that, which keeps me under a very high total in the 50s.
Yeah, they got like three offensive line starters in the portal, including kid from UCF, who's one of the best centers in the country right now. I'm looking down the slate as well. This is going to be the game that on Saturday everyone's going to who don't speak our language. Oh, and Washington State is upset by UCLA. No. UCLA is a 3-point favorite at home against Wazoo. Wazoo coming in here undefeated with Ward obviously throwing the ball well. But I like the Bruins here. I think you're off a week since that offensive difficulty in Salt Lake with Moore making his first road start. You still have a defense which leads the nation in opponent yards per play. I think Wazoo is going to have a hard time putting up a big number here. Now, look, I respect Wazoo and I respect their defense, but I do like UCLA here. I think their ability to run, their ability to control the line of scrimmage, and I think that defensive line and that defense in general for the Bruins, I think is enough. So I laid the three with UCLA against the Cougars in a game that is funny. Jeff and I were talking about before, what's the over under for attendance in the Rose Bowl with the Dodgers having a home playoff game that day as well.
But the Trojans are playing at home. I'll just say this about this game, and we're going to talk a lot about this game throughout the show because you know we both have it on some of our wagers. Washington State's going from playing home game against Wisconsin, first time they hosted a Power 5 conference opponent in Pullman since 1998. Then they play Oregon State, a national TV game, ranked opponents, or that Pac-2 game, right? A blowout win. It was a blowout for a while. Beavers came back, but Cougars won. Now they're going to the Rose Bowl, guys, for a 12 Pacific kickoff on Pac-12 Network. There's going to be 18,000 fans in that stadium. It's going to be quiet. It's going to be sleepy. It's going to be early wake-up call. Get to the stadium. Go play in front of nobody. It's a bring-your-own-energy type of game. I think Washington State's going to come out really, really slow in this game, and UCLA's going to be able to run the football on them. Dante Moore played poorly on the road against Utah. Everyone plays poorly on the road if you're a young player at Utah. He's back home now. They're both off a bye, but Chip Kelly off a bye. I really like offensively what kind of the energy he brings to that game. So to me, I'm on the Bruins. It was my first wager I made this week in the Pac-12. The Bruins are going to win this game.
Can we stay in the Pac-12? What would a Bear Bets podcast be without discussing the Colorado Buffaloes? Can that defense really lay more than a field goal on the road? I know it's Arizona State, but if you look, they're minus 12 in turnovers. Some of that, okay, you have bad quarterback play, but if you look at the fumble luck, they fumbled 7 times. They've lost 5 of them. Their opponents have fumbled 7 times and only lost 1 of them. I just don't think that defense with Colorado can be laying, 4.5 on the road against anybody. I like the Sun Devils here. I think they'll be able to move the ball. I think it's a toss-up game.
12 of the Arizona State turnovers, excuse me, 8 of the Arizona State turnovers happened in one game against Fresno State, right? That was like the worst game they've ever played in the history of Sun Devil State. They lost 29-0. So like they've been better since then. Kenny Dillingham took over play calling before the USC game. The offense has taken off. I mean, taking off is relative, but it's been better since he took over play calling. The quarterback situation obviously is pretty tough, but you're right. Like Colorado's defense is in the hundreds for points per drive, yards per drive, yards per play. The question I have is just, can Arizona State, can they score 30 in the 30s to cover this game?
You've seen Colorado's defense, right?
Yeah, but Arizona's
30-27
scored a lot though. I mean,
I could see that. I could see that. Sammy, you hopping on the old DraftKings app or running over to the South Point and grabbing the 4.5 because those are the two spots I see 4.5 available right now.
No, I'm done being called names for betting against Colorado. Forget it. We've already had our fun. I mean, how much money did we make collectively betting against Colorado? Not only against Oregon, but against USC with the total. I mean, that total was 72, and there really could have been 100 points in that game. So I don't think there's an edge on my side of the fence. I certainly wouldn't lay points with Colorado, but I did find it ironic that Deion's already snapping back on Twitter this week on Wednesday and Thursday because, hey, he's got a winnable game this weekend, and that's sort of what Deion does, doesn't it?
Speaking of winnable games, you look at one of the undefeated matchups this week. You got Maryland 5-0 going to Columbus 4-0. Big noon kickoff will be there. I'm looking forward to getting back to the old horseshoe on the banks of the Olentangy. Does it feel like Maryland? It feels like a lot of people think Maryland has a legit chance this year with Talia and some of the offensive guys that they have around. And if you watch Maryland, they look a little bit more physical on the line of scrimmage, a little bit more complete on the offensive line. But it does feel like Maryland has a little bit of that double-digit underdog with fleas kind of deal where people are kind of, I'm going to take Maryland plus the points. Ohio State, I wasn't that impressed with them so far. Like I don't know. It feels like maybe one of those games that could be close at halftime and maybe just Ohio State kind of pulls away in the second half. Jeff, you got any thoughts on this one?
Can I present to you the Maryland schedule so far?
Of course, you can present whatever you want to me.
Indiana, Michigan State, Virginia, Charlotte, and Towson. They're going in the horseshoe now. Like, this is a big step up in competition for them. I know it's, 19 points right now, I think it is, in this game, 19 and a half. I know Ohio State at times has sputtered a little bit offensively, but Notre Dame is not, Maryland's not Notre Dame, right? Like, I think this game has the potential to be a huge blow win for Ohio State. Like, Maryland has not faced anything close to Ohio State where they have played good team, at least one good team so far, and they blow out the other teams. I don't have a play in this game, but I would, if you asked me to choose, I would choose Ohio State here.
Yeah, I see 20s pretty much everywhere with the exception of, DraftKings, I see 19 and a half, and Bookmaker Offshore, I see 19 and a half as well. Sammy, you looking to get involved in Buckeyes Terps?
Jeff, don't you ever disrespect the Towson Tigers like that, okay? Are we on the same page now? Don't disrespect Towson.
I'm
totally kidding. Ohio State, not to get into my numbers really deep today, but I think it's important when you have these bigger spreads, Bear, you have to look to your power ratings. And, you know, Ohio State is 125, and I've got Maryland at 108. So that's 17. How much is home field worth at Ohio State? At least 4 or 5. So we're north of 21 here. And I was a little surprised to see, you know, circa open 18, 18 and a half. They respect Maryland because Maryland can move the ball. But how many times is Maryland going to stop Ohio State? This is very similar to the Georgia-Kentucky game, where I think the favorite is too powerful, too well on both sides of the ball, where, yeah, Maryland's going to score, but what happens if Maryland throws a pick six or has a fumble six and gets behind 21-7 or 21-3, something like that? I would lay it and lay it before it gets to 21 if it does, in fact, get there by Saturday.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of like going from facing a knuckleball pitcher to facing a pitcher throwing 99 miles an hour, a little bit of that kind of effect here for Maryland with the schedule. Ohio State off of a bye. This is a pretty good Ohio State defense, one of the better ones they've had in, you know, in recent memory. I just think it's pretty simple. I think Ohio State's just going to be able to run the ball basically seven, 8 yards a clip. And when you can do that, you can play action. Their quarterback, look, when you're an Ohio State quarterback, usually you're used to having those video game stats. This kid doesn't have that. So maybe, you know what, you're up 17 late and you stick another one or two in the end zone late to give him some confidence. It'd be Ohio State or nothing for me.
Yeah, I do think there's still people out there that may have questions about Ohio State's quarterback position. Maybe Marvin Harrison isn't fully 100%. They did have the off week since the Notre Dame game, which is a good thing. So you look at the national landscape over the last couple of years. Last year at this point, entering October, TCU was unranked. 2 years ago, entering October, Michigan was ranked 14th. So each of the last 2 years, you've had a team that was outside of the top 10 entering October, but wind up making the playoff. Jeff, I will ask you first. If you had to pick a team right now outside the top 10 to make the playoff, because you can obviously find odds to make the playoff, odds to win the title out there, you can probably get a good price on a team right now that might not be in the top 10. So who are we looking at outside the top 10 you think make a run?
Is Cam Rising playing this season or not? Like it's like if Cam Rising's playing, I'd go Utah, right? But is he playing, Sammy? Do we know, Will? Is Cam Rising ever playing this season? Because if he plays,
don't ask Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah, because if he plays, like he's upset. I understand his anger about this. If he plays, they're going to be really good again. Like they're going to be one of the best teams in the country. Offensively, they're worse than Iowa right now. You just put in Cam Rising, you're better. Their defense is fantastic. Now, the injuries are a concern. They have a ton of injuries all over the field, not just the quarterback. But I got to imagine if Utah, they host Oregon. I believe they have to go to Washington. They go to USC, but those are places I think that they're not intimidated by.
No, they wanted SC.
But Utah is the team for me. If Cam comes back, they upgrade immediately to a much better offense, and their defense is fantastic. So to me, it's Utah, guys.
You know, the Heat made the NBA Finals. The Florida Panthers made the Stanley Cup Finals. Miami basketball made the Final Four. Can the Miami Hurricanes, can they look? I know we talked about that might be a few too many points in a tricky spot this week, but there's the talent there. It's not a brutal schedule. How about Miami? What number is there on Miami too? Because like we talked about last week, there are no numbers here in Connecticut. So this is all, this is all for the point of a hypothetical exercise.
Let's see if I can find something here.
Yeah. Man, I wish we could bet these.
Miami, again, I was high on them this year because I think we saw in year two what Mario did at Oregon and what he can do in Miami. And they're just like, your point about building up through the trenches, guys, it's... what do you got?
And if I'm in the DraftKings app right now, Miami is plus 1,200 to make the college football playoff.
That's not bad. That's really not bad.
I think we all have to bet that. Like, we all bet the Chicago Bears under 5.5 2 weeks ago mid-show. I mean, how good is that?
The Bears.
Yeah, that worked out okay.
Sammy, I know we have another podcast for this, but your Bears stuff just, it's so great. Oh, there.
I think we all have to bet Miami, though. Let's do it. I'm going to do it right now.
We do. I'll do it right now too. That Bears Broncos game.
We're all rushing against each other to get the best number on this right now. By the way,
I don't have anything. I'm blind bear. I'm gonna have to Venmo you. I'll Venmo you. I'll show you a text message. We gotta figure something out.
And the better number is DraftKings, by the way, because it's only plus 1,000 at FanDuel. So let's all simultaneously make our Miami.
Let's do it.
Miami to make the college football playoff. Okay. That's at DraftKings right now. Plus 1,200, it's worth a little.
I think it's certainly worth.
There
worth
we go. That. We're in. Perfect. Boom.
Bear, I have one more thing for you, if I may, if I can do this. This is UCF in Kansas.
You could do whatever you want, Sammy. I was going to ask you if you had anything else for us. I knew you did, and the table is yours.
The bosses will not approve of you saying I can do whatever I want. I know that for a fact. But we have.
I know the bosses. I've got pull with them.
All right, fair enough. UCF in Kansas. I expect some point today we're going to get two reports. One, that John Rhys Plumlee is in for UCF, which is what I was hoping for basically all week. We bet a little over 63 and 64 on Monday and Tuesday. 64.5, 65 right now, but with Plumlee in, I mean, I don't think it's really going to matter. And then on the other side of the ball, it doesn't sound good for Jalen Daniels. So expect Jason Bean to start for Kansas. But as the three of us know, Bean has started a lot. I mean, he started half the season last year. They moved the ball extremely well. And as one wise guy told me, there's no coach in the country that maneuvers safeties like Lance at Kansas. Big plays down the field. I think we get a shootout between Bean and Plumlee. And even at 65, guys, that feels like a game that could be 38-35 either way.
There's one other game that's off the radar, kind of like you were talking about there, that I've kind of been monitoring all week. There was some quarterback news about Akron, about DJ Irons, starting quarterback out for the year with the torn ACL. I'm hoping that number hits 7 because Northern Illinois shouldn't be laying 7 against anyone.
Can't score.
I took a little 6.5, but I'm really hoping that number does touch 7 with the with Akron starting quarterback out and people wind up wanting to bet on old Rocky Lombardi and the Huskies on the road against Akron, who might be the most unluckiest team in the in the college football world last night. Overtime loss last 2 weeks. And so,
they lost to 2 by Indiana.
Yeah, and then you've got, last 15 games, they've got a 3-point loss to Temple, a 2-point loss to Indiana, a 3-point loss to Buffalo, a 1-point loss to Buffalo, a 6-point loss to Western Michigan, a 6-point loss to Kent State, a 7-point loss to Central Michigan, and a 3-point loss to Bowling Green. So they have been on the wrong end of all these close games. So If I can get that seven, I'll be really happy. Will, you got anything else for us before we let you guys go?
No, I think we covered it. I just we got to settle and figure out how much we're going in here on Miami. I like that bet at 12-1, but it should be a fun week.
we'll have that conversation offline. All right, guys. Sammy, enjoy your trip to South Florida. Make sure you get one of Mario's little lighter fluid Cuban coffees there that probably walk from Miami to Jacksonville after one of those. Sammy, we'll talk to you soon. Will, we'll catch up with you in the state of Connecticut. We can go raid a sugar house kiosk or something together.
Did you get your money back yet?
Yes, I did.
Yes!
It would not have happened. I guarantee you it would not have happened. I literally got an email the other day. Chris, blah, 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 from Sugar House Customer Support. I want to alert you that you indeed did not get credited back your bonus. No, I know I didn't get credit back. But yes, I got them credited back.
So this podcast, look at this.
Power. We got the power, baby. But I probably still would rather have a nickel on OU at 65-1 than I would the bonus bets back. But we rolled them into a couple of baseball bets. I took Will's advice from that column and put 250 on Twins to win the World Series. I played a little Josh Allen MVP. I think he was 5-1 there. So we played some things to have some fun with. So, okay, I'm happy now. We got it off our chest and it all worked out.
Awesome.
If you have wagering grievances, present them to us at the Bear Bets podcast and we'll take care of you. So, guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
I appreciate it.
Another fantastic gambling group chat. We cover so many actions, so many games there. Hope you guys get some nuggets for your college football. We get some futures as well. That Miami wager, I like that, Bear. I like the Miami wager. I'm in on that.
We're all in on it.
Except Will, who unfortunately has to Venmo you money, but that's life living in a state. I live in North Carolina. I got to do that as well sometimes. Let's get to your wagers so far you've made in the show, and then we'll get to your best bet. And my best bet, you have UCLA laying 3 points at home against Washington State. That game is early. It is a 3 Eastern game on Pac-12 Network. You have Georgia at home laying the 14.5, hosting Kentucky. Both those teams are undefeated. You have A&M, and maybe the biggest game in Jimbo Fisher's history as an Aggie coach, getting a 1.5 here against Alabama. You have Marshall plus 6.5 on the road to NC State. All right, Bear, both our best bets are on the West Coast. Let's hear yours first.
Isn't it a perfect opportunity? Isn't this a Justin Wilcox special?
Absolutely.
Right here, Cal getting 9.5 at home against Oregon State, the big win last week, Thursday night against a shorthanded Utah team. Now you're going on the road. You're laying close to double digits against the Golden Bears,
who weren't
great in their win against ASU. Like, it's just a perfect opportunity. We've seen DJ's performance the last few weeks kind of go down just a little bit. Last 3 weeks, barely 50% completions. Now, I think Justin Wilcox's defense will have something in store for him. And remember, as an underdog, I think Wilcox is something like 28-12 against the number. Ed Cal is an underdog. So, like, throw that trend out. But just, circumstance, they held Auburn to 14 points and covered that game. It's a dog nearly won outright. I don't know. Oregon State's a good team, but laying close to double digits here, I'll take the Bears.
Justin Wilcox is 10-4 against the spread as a home underdog in conference play. Like, this is what Cal does. Oregon State is a little one-dimensional offense. I felt odd that the commentary coming out of the win against Utah was Oregon State played this like great game. Like,
what game did they watch?
They scored on a trick play on fourth down, right? On the Bolden. Like, they were okay. They were okay. They beat a shorthanded Utah team who lost one of their best pass rushers in the game. Obviously, quarterback situation was bad. They're back on the road. It's a sleepy place to play Memorial Stadium. Cal, defensively, not as good as previous years, but they're good if you're one-dimensional. I think the Beavers are very one-dimensional on offense, so I'm with you here. I will be wagering this as well. And I think I like the under in this one. I think it's 51.5. I'm staying out west for my best bet here, as I normally do in the Pac-12 Conference. I'm taking UCLA to cover the first half against Washington State. Barry, how about this? There's been 6 ranked teams in the Pac-12 Conference that have gone on the road for their first conference road game. I'm talking about teams that were ranked at the time. That includes Colorado. Mm-hmm. That includes UCLA, Utah. All 6 have not covered in the first half. They've not covered in the first half. Mm. They have all. Oregon started slow at Stanford last weekend. Washington started slow at Arizona. USC started slow at Arizona State. You have Washington State coming off of 2 out of 3.
Colorado started slow at Oregon.
Yeah, something like that. You have Washington State coming off of these two emotional home games, right? Wisconsin, they played Northern Colorado, then they played Oregon State. You're going on the road to a sleepy Rose Bowl, man. Like I've been to 50 games in the Rose Bowl. There's going to be no one at that game. the Dodgers have a home game. USC has a home game this weekend. Be no one there. You have to create your own energy. And UCLA is really good on defense. Their front seven is fantastic. I think they're going to hit Cam Ward. They're going to pressure Cam Ward. Cam Ward has played so much better this year, but hasn't really had sort of a defense like this one that can really test him up front. UCLA's defense is seventh in havoc rate. That means you combine pressure, sacks, tackles for loss. They're really good. So I think UCLA comes out fast off a bye as well, and they kind of smother them right away. And I know you have the Bruins as well covering full game. I'm fine with that. I think that's a good wager as well. So those are our best bets for the show, Bear.
That was good. We covered a lot in that group chat. It was good, but whether it was futures this week, and it's a good, solid slate of games. It feels like we're going to get, like I alluded to up top, some underdogs that wind up winning outright, maybe a little bit of upheaval. And then it looks like next week, we got the two games that stand above all others, USC going to Notre Dame.
Ooh,
and the little game in the PNW.
I'm debating whether I show up next weekend in full Oregon attire. I might just go for it.
I thought you were going to say I'm debating next week as to whether I show up
no,
at all.
No, I'm not. Well, yeah. I told my wife that I had to give her 2 week notice. I said, honey, I will be in rare form when Oregon plays Washington on the 14th at 3:30 PM Eastern. It'd be best if you just weren't here. So I think she's going to go out. I was like, take the kids. I'll pay for whatever. Just exactly. Let me watch the game by myself. So, oh man, I cannot wait for that game. Oregon's going to win it. Just letting you guys know right now. So just take it to the bank.
Feels like Oregon's like the forgotten team in the Pac-12.
They're really freaking good. It bothers me how much people talked about first year coaches last year that struggled. Mara Cristobal, Brett Venables, Dan Lanning, like, that they couldn't coach anymore because they went to a different place. And it's like, just let them get their own guys. Like, give them a chance and look how much better Oklahoma is, Oregon is, Miami is. Like, guys that have a track record. I know Lanning didn't have much of a track record, but Venables certainly did at Oklahoma. Like, they got their own guys and they're better, Bear. So it just bothers me how kind of the narrative of this offseason went. So that's my Oregon-Washington take right now.
I'm already looking forward. This week hasn't even started, and I'm already looking forward to next week. So that'll put a bow on this week.
Yes.
Jeff, for Sammy P, for Will, I'm Bear. Appreciate you watching. Make sure you subscribe, download, rate, review, all that wonderful stuff wherever you get your podcasts. Another week of Bear Bets presented by Big Noon Kickoff in the books. And always remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.